My name is Leslie. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Jackson Reed and the Silverbirds actually reached out to me several weeks ago to have their song played on the program. So I'm pretty happy that I finally got around to doing it. It's a fun cover of the original. Here's your friendly reminder as well. If you're a musician and you want to get your music featured on 90.1 FM, the best thing to do is to submit your music to our music department. You can send it over to our coordinator, Connor, by sending it to cjsfmusc@sfu.ca. That way your music will be entered into the CJSF Music Library, where a lot more people will be able to hear it and put it onto their program, and a lot more ears will be able to get into your music. So that's cjsfmusc@sfu.ca to submit your music. Thanks so much again to Jackson Reed and the Silverbirds. All right, let's continue to talk about the boyfriend. Okay, so... let's make it clear. I like the boyfriend. I think it is a show that is very fun. And I think the way that it is produced and structured makes it so that the drama that's in it is easier for me to digest, because there is drama. It is not as, I think, slow-paced and chill as a lot of people might want you to think that it is. It's just simply not as, maybe, you know, the participants on the program maybe are not as willing to be, like, as expressive and super upfront about their concerns and all that, but they do it in their own ways. There is actually quite a bit of intense drama throughout the program, and there are people who appear on this show who are, quite frankly, in my opinion, not the most likable, because they might not be very good at communicating, or communication skills. They might be a little bit shady, and I don't like certain parts of their personality in that way, and it reminds me actually of some of the contestants in the Queer Ultimatum. But I've been reading a couple of articles by Western writers that want to frame the boyfriend as, like, this, like, whole new innovative program that's, like, super authentic and, like, really good for the spirit of queer people and stuff. I would disagree. Actually, I think, and so before the break, right, I was talking about how, like, I think actually the boyfriend follows a very, like, typical conventional structure that some Asian reality shows follow, in this kind of, like, quote-unquote documentary style, slow style structure. I mean, there's even an article on them called Netflix's The Boyfriend is the Authentic Queer Reality Show We've Been Waiting For, which uses the term documentary style to talk about the program. And as I think, like, accurate the use of that term is, I don't personally think that just because a show is produced in that way, that makes it any more or less authentic than a reality show that maybe is more like Talking Head style, or more like, I don't know, competition style. And I actually say this because, and I say this because, like, reality shows, they all have story writers, they all have editors, they all have producers, and even if you're watching the most boring milquetoast documentary, there are rises and falls to the thing that you're watching, and there are points in which you get a satisfying or not unsatisfying end, right? There are stories that are being told through this medium. It requires a little bit of cutting and clipping and pasting. One of the things that comes top of mind for me, especially about this idea that, like, the boyfriend is, like, very, very new and innovative in the way that it's presented and stuff, is that I don't find that it actually is. There was this Japanese reality show series called Terrace House, and you can still watch a lot of that series on Netflix, but it was really, really popular, and it follows a very similar structure. You get a bunch of hot young people, usually working in the creative industries or in the gig industries, living together in a shared house for a number of weeks, and the goal is to kind of, like, foster the sense of, like, community and, like, friendship, and maybe along the way they find love, who knows. The way that it's filmed is this similar quote-unquote documentary style process, and in the same way as the boyfriend, you also have celebrity entertainers and talents reacting to the documentary clips on a later date, and that also helps form a lot of the story. The Terrace House was really popular kind of in the late 2010s, and it became infamous in 2020 and moving forward because of a really tragic scandal that happened to one of the cast members. Hana Kimura, who appeared on the fifth and final season of the series, was a pro wrestler. I believe she was in her early 20s, and she was often instructed by one of the producers on the program to act antagonistically and to create conflicts amongst herself and other members of the shared house. This caused a lot of people to view her really poorly, and she was subject to cyberbullying and harassment after her appearances on the program aired. Kimura unfortunately ended up committing suicide in 2020. She was 22 years old. Of course, her suicide is unfortunately one of many cases of reality television stars basically being not taken care of by production after their appearances on the program and being subject to harassment both online and in traditional media. But there's, you know, that thing to note there, right? Which is that she was directed by the producers of the program to uphold a certain persona on the show, showing that even a program as quote-unquote slow and authentic as Terrace House is, and if you watch The Boyfriend and you watch Terrace House, you'll see the similarities that I'm talking about. Even something as quote-unquote authentic as it is, it still has people behind it who have to create stories and produce conflict in order for it to be entertaining. Now, of course, the topic of, like, reality stars' mental health and the way that they're taken care of or not taken care of by the producers is it'd be a little bit tangential. And it's something that I do hope will happen more often for people who appear on these programs. But it is, I bring this up to say that while The Boyfriend may seem innovative and different for some viewers because of the way that it is presented and produced, and because of the way that certain audience members may not have had a lot of exposure to the reality shows of different countries and different ways in which reality shows are presented, it doesn't take away from the fact that this is in fact a reality show. It is produced in a certain way. It is edited in a certain way. The stories are told in a certain way. Talk a little bit more about how reality shows are generic, as in they are of genre, after the music break. This next track you're going to hear is by Sebastian Gaskin. It's his newest, called Shelley Amour. And you'll hear it after this PSA.
This is Bird Note. I'm J. Drew Lanham, an ornithologist, naturalist, and writer. I'm often asked, what's your favorite bird? My standard response is, the one with feathers. Birds deserve more than the disappearing by billions and reducing them to just names on a list. But here's the recent taxonomy of my obsessions, selected birds of the moment, annotated by Y. White-crowned sparrow. Envying the brown ignored thing, all sparrows and BIPOC are top of the list. Loggerhead shrike. Stuck on a raptorial passerine, this bad boy is a songbird that hunts. Bobolink, a.k.a. rice bird. Blackbirds are my birds. History lesson. Rice bird ancestors shared the terror and toil in low country rice fields with enslaved black people. They were persecuted for eating the rice that made the planter class filthy rich so they could enslave even more black people and grow more rice. See the cycle? There you have it. Three fave birds and why. This list is subject to change and right soon. Stay tuned. I'm J. Drew Lanham.
Welcome back to Typically Tuesdays here on CJSF 90.1 FM. That was Zayne, Z-E-Y-N-E, with Bali, newest from her. My name is Leslie. And just wrapping up these thoughts about the boyfriend, you know, it is, you know, it's a reality dating show. It has to follow certain conventions and genre, right? I don't think that the boyfriend would exist if Terrace House didn't exist, for example. Like, Terrace House was so wildly popular that the format essentially became how the boyfriend is formatted. You know, and with regards to, like, if it's, like, innovative and authentic and stuff like that, you know, one thing that I noticed with these articles about the program is they really want to highlight, like, the way that the program is structured and the contestants, the participants of the program. But I've found it interesting that they're not really talking a whole lot about actually the representations of queer people on the show, right? If you think about it a little bit harder, the boyfriend highlights the lives and friendships of queer Asian men in a society that has, that even though it is becoming a little bit, quite a bit actually, more accepting and tolerant of queer people, still struggles to allow for queer people to participate in the socio and political parts of its society, right? Asia, especially East Asia, you know, there have been a lot of innovations being made, I think, for, there's been a lot of progress being made for queer people, and obviously probably the most privileged of queer people. And at the same time, governments in East Asia still tend to be quite conservative. And like with most places around the world right now, there are unfortunately there's a growing sense of like populism and moral panic around specifically issues of gender and sexuality. And so I think in my opinion, the innovative and authentic part of this program that should be applauded is the fact that it is a show that allows for these queer people to show up as they are and to show us parts of their lives that are actually like quite vulnerable and quite private, and honestly quite mundane, you know, even to the smallest thing, like building a friendship, becoming friends with other queer people. That's the part that I find the most interesting about The Boyfriend. And, you know, if you are going to, you know, consider watching something that highlights queer Asian people in Asia, and you can't get access to Queer Japan, the documentary that I've been trying to get access to for several years, consider watching The Boyfriend on Netflix. We're going to end it there for the show today. Thank you for tuning in to Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Check out more great CJSF programming. I'm always going to plug Democracy Now! You know when it airs, Monday to Friday, 11 to 12. But I'm also going to plug today Slumber Party, which airs Tuesdays at 6 o'clock. It's a fun show, lots of great banter, and lots of fun music. Check it out, Slumber Party, every Tuesday from 6 to 7. Right, I'm going to do one final plug of the Typically Tuesdays Pride special program, because this is the final week to submit your response to this project. I am asking you, the Typically Tuesdays listener, how you are showing up in community and in solidarity with other queer people and with other people of marginalized and oppressed experiences. And the reason why I'm asking that is because, you know, like, a big part of our legacy as queer people and our history and culture as queer people is in these acts of resistance that may seem quite mundane, but actually are grounded in love. They're grounded in community and empathy and being able to see other people in our communities and beyond as people who are deserving of only good things. I really want to highlight that for this program, and that program is going to air on August 5th, which is the Monday right after Vancouver Pride Parade. But I need your help to do that. I need to know your responses and your thoughts. The form for this project, for you to submit your response, it closes this Friday, August 2nd at 11 o'clock at night. So time is ticking. Chikutaku chikyu, you know, as Paida would say. And I'd be really, really grateful if you participated, because I really want to highlight, you know, the queer community around Typically Tuesdays. You can find out more information over on my Instagram at Typically Tuesdays. And the link to the form is in my bio. Just click on the link in my bio and you'll be able to read the entire description of the project. Thank you so much again. And please, please, if you fill it out, please also share the word about this project. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you so much. And let's crush cis hetero patriarchy and capitalism and imperialism and ableism and racism and all those things for a brighter future. All right, talked a lot today, and so I'm going to end the program with a little bit of a final song. This is the newest from Tasha, and it's called The Beginning. Thanks for tuning in today. Please fill out the form, link in bio, on my Instagram at Typically Tuesdays. I'll talk to you very soon.
Radio Rewind.